Good morning and welcome into the Blitz, a Tuesday edition of the Blitz here with you for the next couple of hours. Charlie Collier, Sam Beard, live here on Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Getting you to your lunch break on this Tuesday. We got trained again this morning. We got hit by that train.
A big one.
A long train.
Been a while. It felt like it was almost football season since I'd heard that, or since seen that, I guess.
I mean, I feel like we've been avoiding some trains lately, and I guess that was I don't know, I guess that was
Train gods.
Trains 3, Revenge of the Trains. But it was a long train. I ended up, I think, multiple light cycles behind you, just turning left, just because of how long the line was, because of how long the train was. Like, I got off the interstate. Well, yeah, I was in an Uber, but Uber got off the interstate, and the train had been rolling along for like a minute. Like, the train had already, I'd assumed, passed where the spot is, where it goes over the road, because a mile away, like, I could see the train, coming across right when I was getting off the interstate. It wasn't even the front of the train. So I was like, oh, cool, I missed the train. Like, how about that timing? Turn the corner, no. Just a really, really long one. I wonder what they're shipping.
Yeah, that would be a good question. Something big.
What all do, like, trains move? Do they move, like, big things? I don't.
That's like the mystery of trains that I don't enjoy. You know, like
Like,
we should
I
get some
guess.
transparent box cars where it can see what's inside.
You don't want to see what's inside.
Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. At least let it be transparent so I can see.
It's like Schrodinger's cat, you know?
It's probably nothing special.
It's probably just boxes
Yeah.
and things. Leaves, maybe some dirt.
Leaves and dirt.
Yeah, I mean, they just fall into the train. Maybe a person or two. Every once in a while. I don't know. Are people still riding trains?
Yeah,
Can
I think so.
we get in touch with, like, the we'll call them nomadic community, and see if they're still big on trains?
I think
Or
I've
the
seen
nomads passed up trains for other devices of transportation now?
some things on like TikTok where people just it's on like their bucket list to do just like a train exploration, and they just hop on trains and just see where it takes them, basically. Like they don't care where that train is going. You could be going into like the most dangerous place in the world, but they're just on the ride until like they get kicked off or something, I guess, or they just hop on a new train, maybe. Sounds kind of exhilarating.
I want to ride a train. Like, personally, that's been a dream of mine, is to just hop on a train like that and see where it goes.
Yeah.
Except, I don't know. Like, if you do that, you're committed.
Oh yeah, you're committed. I mean, you're not like getting off the train until it stops. There's no.
And who knows where it's going to stop? You could just end up in, like, a random train yard. I don't know.
In what, who knows what state, you
Like,
know?
you could hop on that train, and it could be like 28 hours later, and you're just in Idaho.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how that works
That's
travel
really
wise,
weird that
but
we both had Idaho come to our brain. Like I was about to say Idaho.
like a fun midsummer day adventure could turn into, how do I get an Uber back from Syracuse, New York, real fast?
And then like once you got to start going to the bathroom, like does your train car just kind of turn into like a horse's stable?
Yeah, I think so. You just got to
That could be
establish.
pleasant, you know?
Well, you just got to know. I mean, you just pick a corner. Those are pretty big train cars.
I think that smell probably overtakes it pretty quickly though. Maybe just throw it out of the window. Is there windows on all of them?
I don't know. I mean, what kind of train car are we hopping in? Like a
I don't know.
sliding door or an open on the top one?
I don't know.
I was kind of imagining more of like an open on the top, but I guess, cinematically speaking, typically it's the sliding door ones that people are riding in.
Yeah, you need that extra need like a little bit of cinematic, little cinematic element of like prying the doors open, you know, getting into the next car.
Which
James Bondy.
Getting into the next car?
Yeah, you know, like just like pulling open the doors and like.
I mean, I don't think they're really like connected. It's not a passenger train. Like, yeah, I don't think you can get from one to the other.
It's a cinematic experience of when people are pulling the doors together. Like, it's not, that's normally a passenger train.
Oh, I was thinking more so like the sliding door on the side of the train, and you're opening it, and you're like running, and you're trying to hop in.
Yeah. That'd be pretty tough.
I imagine that scene from The Heartbreak Kid where Ben Stiller is like crossed the border like 13 times.
Yeah.
And he's just hairy and filthy and. The movie went on for like a weird extra 30 minutes that it just did not need. That movie, quick, I don't know. Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah.
It was like a somewhat cheesy at times, but mostly funny, pretty decent romantic comedy. And then the final 20 minutes of that movie, they're just like, you know what? Let's just devolve this into like a fever dream wasteland where Ben Stiller all of a sudden is like a dirty. Homeless man that's trying to cross the border for like a montage that goes on for 18 minutes.
Yeah, they kind of just blew the whole thing up right at the end.
They said, let's make this movie not serious anymore right now. It's been serious way too long.
Yeah, no, that is actually is a good point. I haven't seen that movie in a while.
The train scene, man. Then doesn't he just get beat up by like hobos on the train too?
No, yeah, he does.
You gotta watch out for that. I don't know. You don't want to step in someone else's turf. I don't know what the train scene's looking like these days.
Yeah. It's a car-y-car world out there.
It's amazing how often this show has managed to talk about trains and the length that it has, and I don't think we ever repeat the same thing.
No. We're passionate about them. They're on our hate list, at least for me.
It's not a hate list, Sam. It's an anti and pro list.
Sure.
Which.
I'll say I hate them, but still.
I was thinking there's something I wanted to add to the pro list. Pro fun facts on Uber bios.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That guy had a good fun fact.
I love when they have the fun facts.
Yeah, that was a good
fun. My Uber driver this morning, he makes teas from different fruit juices.
That sounds like a fun hobby.
I love, but yeah, no. The more random the fun facts in Uber drivers' bios, the better. And I will ask you about it.
Did y'all dive into the fruit tea?
We talked briefly about the fruit teas.
What are his favorite fruits to brew teas with?
Some sort of like mango. I don't know.
Mango? You didn't remember his conversation?
Not really. The train distracted me.
Yeah.
Also. Did not know that you could get Kia Souls that were manual. Didn't think that was a thing.
He has a manual Kia Soul?
He had a manual Kia Soul. I was blown away.
That just can't be a thing.
He was driving stick, but it was also in those little box Kia Souls. Right? That's the Kia Soul, right? That was those little.
Yeah. I mean, that's the box.
Yeah. The boxiest car in the world. I don't know. Those Scions or whatever. The Cubes. Those are a little bit more boxy. But those Kia Soul is the second most boxy car out there. But yeah, he was driving manual. I like didn't catch it at first, and then I just saw him, you know, maneuvering with his right hand. I was like, oh, shoot, manual.
Huh.
I would love to know, too, the percentage of the Uber driver population that drives stick versus the percentage of the American population that drives stick. Because I got to think it's like 4 or 5 times more prevalent in the Uber community.
More prevalent in the Uber community?
I feel like I'm seeing Ubers driving stick all the time.
I think it's way less prevalent.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm always getting Ubers that are driving stick.
I don't think I've ever gotten an Uber that's driving stick.
Alright, well, I guess we're just in two different worlds.
I would be on the complete opposite side of that. I would think that there's like 99% of Uber drivers who drive automatic.
I feel like I don't know. I mean, I don't know. How many people in your everyday life that you do know the drive stick?
Like, not many at all. I don't know.
Right.
I know anyone.
Like, maybe like a person or two?
Like, I just don't think it's very prevalent in general.
When I was in high school, there was this one. She was beautiful too. There's this one girl, right? She moved to town from Alabama, and all of us liked her. Like, every single guy was like, "New girl, really good looking. Yeah, we're in." And me and my buddy were hanging out with her like a week into it, like her being in Tennessee. We went to like a trivia night at a Mexican place. Turns out she was crazy, but she drove stick. Because she tried to teach us to drive stick in the parking lot after. And she was wild. Like, she was just, I don't even know if she knew how to drive stick, but she was just whipping it around and, like, driving like a maniac. So that's my only experience with stick. I did successfully drive around a parking lot once. I don't think I could ever do it again.
I've never driven stick, to be honest with you. It's kind of something I wish I had. In the back of my hand, or in the back of my pocket, back of my hand.
I would love to be able to. I don't know. I think it's
like a value.
Makes you feel more like a man, I think, to be able to drive.
Yeah, it feels like a little old school Americana. Just out there driving stick.
The one summer that I landscaped for the summer at old Troubadour Golf Club.
Yeah.
Crazy now to think how nice that place is.
Yeah, you just completely like. You were the people that just went in there and demolished the place to get it.
Basically, nice, yeah. Gross. Just know that, you know, Justin Thomas, why. Justin Timberlake, when you're out there teeing up on hole one,
think about me.
That hole would not be irrigated if it wasn't for this guy. Because there was a day that they looked at me and they just said, we don't really want you to come with us. We're going to send you out with the irrigation crew and you're going to dig holes. And I spent 8 hours that day with the entire Spanish-speaking crew that they brought in digging holes, and it was just me and them. And we tried talking to each other for that entire day, didn't really talk all that much, and just took turns shoveling dirt. But that summer, I had to drive, like, some big machinery, some equipment that was stick. And they're like, it was me and my roommate that were both working there, and everyone else were full-time adult employees. And they would just call us Dumb and Dumber. And, I mean, because everyone knew how to operate all the equipment and knew everything about it and, like, knew how to take care of a golf course. And then it was just, like, us two. And they would mostly just send us out to weed eat the most ridiculous areas I've on the planet to weed eat.
Yeah.
Like, just... Oh, my first week there, they sent me to a little patch of, like, woods, basically. And they said, yeah, this isn't going to be here anymore. I was like, oh, that's cool. What are we going to do about it? And they're like, well, what are you going to do about it? And they just gave me a chainsaw and, like, seven other pieces of equipment, and I just spent a week just hacking things down and, like, clearing out this little, like, mini wooded area.
What you got to do?
But, yeah, they, like, one day they're like, hey, like, which one of you can drive stick? And both of us looked and were like, neither of us can drive stick. Why did you think that the two guys that you called Dumb and Dumber that, you know, had issues starting the chainsaw could just drive stick? And he looked at us, and he looked at me, he looked at my roommate, looked back at me, and he goes, I think you can get it. Gave me like a 3-minute lesson, and then he just sent me across the highway.
Hell yeah.
And, dude, we stalled out like 4 times that first day. But we had to cross like a busy highway to get to the other side, to get to this open field, to weed eat an entire field and like do something else with this big machine. We stalled out going across the highway.
You're still kicking.
Thought we were gonna die.
They couldn't have done anything. You're too big in that rig. You just would have stopped traffic. You just would have had
to. No, man, it wasn't that big.
Bigger than a car.
Like my roommate, I think, got out of the car and was like, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't even remember how we got out of the situation. I just remember stalling out and being terrified. But anyways, trains, you know, Kia Souls to drive manual, just a typical Tuesday here on the Blitz. We'll catch a break. We'll dive into some of the sports stories of the day. Stay with us on Fan Run Radio. All right, back here on the Blitz. NFL continues to just you know, be a storyline machine 365 days a year. The Shield never sleeps.
Oh, sir. Shield never
Shield
sleeps.
Never sleeps. We covered it yesterday on the show, but, you know, there's obviously been more conversation about it. Lamar Jackson, again, requesting or had already requested a trade back on March 2nd, but yesterday making a public statement, conveniently the time right before John Harbaugh, you know, hit the stand too. But made a statement yesterday, essentially, that he'd asked for a trade on March 2nd. His demands weren't being met, and, you know, he loved the fans, but he just didn't, you know, think he could be a part of it, basically. For weeks, I mean, for months, for really over a year, he's been trying to negotiate a contract with the Ravens, but for the last few weeks, he's been free to negotiate a contract with other scenes, with other teams. Any signed offer sheet would cost his new team two first-round picks if Baltimore failed to match the offer sheet. But a trade, like we talked about, a trade would cost more than that. You know, seems pretty obvious Lamar Jackson is not really finding many suitors on the open market. So now he's just trying to, I guess, put more public pressure. That's kind of the way I read it. Was like, we talked about it yesterday in the immediate reaction. Nothing changes at all for the situation, necessarily. It's not like him publicly declaring that he asked for a trade is suddenly going to make teams trade for him. If he asked for a trade March 2nd, if teams have known that he's been available for roughly a month now, and if teams were already able to give up less than you would give up in a trade, you know, to go and make him an offer and sign him, and they haven't yet, then making that demand for a trade public, again, doesn't change much in that scope of things. But Lamar Jackson, I've been questioning this a little bit more lately with some of his moves, but, you know, I think Lamar Jackson's a really smart guy. You know, he's his own agent, which is tough to do, but I give Lamar a lot of credit as a person. It seems like he's pretty well, you know, well respected in that regard. Again, like, smart guy, good leader. Like, I think he's done a lot of the right things, but even though he's botched some of these negotiations, I do think the move yesterday to make that trade request public, a really smart move by him. I think it was very strategic. It's an idea that if I make this public, I can turn the fans against the organization and put more pressure on the Ravens to meet my demands. That's kind of how I took it.
I agree. Yeah, I think kind of just felt like maybe a last-ditch effort almost from him. You know, he didn't want to have to pull that out, I think, you know, deep down. But I agree. I think it kind of is obviously the front office of a football team is not going to make decisions based on what the fans' reaction is. But there's plenty of, you know, I'm sure nobody that's a Baltimore fan probably wants to lose Lamar. I'm assuming to have to go back to square one and try and find another quarterback after you had some success with him. So yeah, I think that I think this public announcement of it all kind of, while it is a little bit, you know, the Ravens front office still has leverage, I think it does kind of give Lamar a sense of like, yeah, you know, I've got all these fans behind me. There's people that are publicly speaking for my, just saying that, you know, I should be re-signed type of thing. I think it does kind of have a little bit of weight. I think it kind of benefits him a little bit. I don't know.
I think it was strategic in the sense that, like, you have put the ball even more so in the Ravens' court.
Yeah.
You know, the media, I think, has been very unfair to the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
You know, I think this whole conversation that we've seen really since the day that non-exclusive tag was put on Lamar is, you know, what are the Ravens doing? How could the Ravens not pay him? Why are none of these teams offering him? Is it collusion? Is it racism? Is it this? Is it that? You know, it's unbelievable. Lamar Jackson remains unsigned. He won an MVP, you know, 3 years ago or 4 years ago. You know, it's someone's got to give him this deal. But I don't think, again, people have been fair to the Ravens. You know, the fact that no one other team has stepped up to the plate and tried to even negotiate with Lamar, like, I think that further solidifies the Ravens, you know, ground that they stand on. And I think if you're the Ravens, too, you know, you've built 20-plus years of trust with your fan base that more often than not, you've made the correct decisions.
Yeah, they're not going to be scared to budge, I don't think.
So, I think this could work with other organizations, other fan bases, but I think the Ravens fan base, for the most part, has a lot of faith in that front office and that coaching staff and the way the team's run. And again, I think the Ravens are an organization that is really strong in their beliefs. They're not going to budge on what they think Lamar Jackson's value is, and nor should they. And I think that there's also, you know, an idea that when you say, oh, Lamar Jackson doesn't deserve more money, like that's saying that Lamar Jackson's, like, not a good quarterback. And I think that those two things, you know, kind of end up going hand in hand, but they shouldn't. You know, people get caught up in the, what do you mean you don't want to play Lamar? He's great. It's not about how good or bad he is. It's about his talent relative to his value. Like, that's how you need to look at quarterbacks. Talent relative to value. You know, if you're going to overpay him, then you're not going to be able to surround him with the talent necessary for him to ultimately, you know, reach the goals that you would have for a quarterback that's making that much money. Win an AFC championship. Win a Super Bowl. He's in that weird range of quarterbacks that are in like that 7 to 12 range that are going to want 1 to 5 quarterback money. But if you pay them that, you're just going to get stuck with a quarterback that's not quite as good as those elite quarterbacks in a roster that can't make that gap up, in my opinion.
I just keep going back to, I think Lamar should have taken the 3-year 133 that they offered him.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't really... Like, how many more years do you want to deal? Obviously he values himself more. But a guy with his playing style, it just is like, it's tough to commit to those. And but he's not going to get a 10-year deal like Mahomes did or anything like that. But it's tough to commit to a 5 or 6 year deal with a guy like Lamar in the way that he plays. The value that you're getting at 3 years, $133 million, fully guaranteed, too. Fully guaranteed. It just seems a little bit foolish, honestly, not to take that. If you want to, I think it, you know, you get fully guaranteed money like you're wanting. You're spending 3 years there. It's a somewhat, you know, it's somewhat long of a contract, but you're not exactly, like, locked into their organization. If you're not super happy with where you are at the end of 3 years, you can go and they'll find another contract. I'm sure someone else will probably pay you in the next 3 years to go play another 3-year fully guaranteed contract. I just think that he's maybe getting a little too caught up in the length of the contract, maybe, and how much guaranteed money he wants. Like, he's getting into that Deshaun Watson type area of the contract, and I think he probably could make more money just taking this smaller, shorter deal from the Ravens and then going and testing free agency 3 years from now.
I give a lot of, honestly, a lot of credit to the Ravens, too, for being strong and their beliefs. Like, that's what a front office should do. You determine what you think a player's value is, the direction for your team, and you don't waver. The Ravens haven't wavered. And, you know, from the Ravens' perspective, again, they offered him a lot of money, a lot of guaranteed money. But, you know, how can you expect the Ravens to go up more? Like, let's have an honest conversation about Lamar Jackson. There are factors that have worked against him, sure. Like, he hasn't had the great receiver that some of these top quarterbacks had. You know, he's dealt with a team that's had some injuries in the past couple of years. But I think he's regressed over the last couple of seasons. You know, he still hasn't shown that next step to become an elite passer. He's an above average, but I wouldn't even say, like, good passer. Like, I'd say, yeah, he's an above average passer and an incredible football player. But 2 years ago, he threw more interceptions than touchdowns. He's failed to make the playoffs back-to-back years. His year that everything was set up for him, that everything was perfect, he lost as the number one seed to a Titans team that barely made the playoffs. And it wasn't even close. And there was nothing that he did in that game to really drive winning. You know, in fact, I think he kind of let the team down in that game. Granted, there were some drops too, but you know, you look at that again, combined with the fact that more interceptions than touchdowns 2 years ago, hasn't come close to the level of play that he was at that MVP season, and back-to-back years he's missed a considerable amount of time to injury. So, like, we get caught up in the MVP conversation. I saw someone say this yesterday. It's a good point. Like, Carson Wentz was one season-ending injury away from in like, week, what, 13, 14? Mm-hmm. You know, he was basically three games away from finishing out a season with the Eagles and winning an MVP.
Yeah.
You know, if he wins that MVP, like, are we giving him the Lamar treatment? Now, obviously, I understand Lamar Jackson is much, much better than Carson Wentz. I get that completely, but you know, I think we're giving a little bit too much weight to the MVP he won 4 years ago and not enough to the injury history and to the somewhat shaky play in the last couple of years. Again, Lamar Jackson, I think, is a top 10 quarterback, probably eighth in my opinion. I think he's the eighth best quarterback in the NFL, give or take a spot one way or the other. I would love to have Lamar Jackson as my quarterback. It's not about whether or not you want Lamar as your quarterback. It's about whether you want Lamar as your quarterback at the price he's asking for. And I think too many people are just, it's money, whatever. No, it's a salary cap. It's really important in the NFL to manage your money properly. And with Lamar, like, you need to have a really good roster around him, because even though he is a great quarterback, even though he's probably the eighth best quarterback in the NFL, if not better, most of the guys above him are also in the AFC. Josh Allen, you know, Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers coming around. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes. So if you're trying to compete against those guys, you need that extra money to get that one guy that they can't pay because they're giving their top quarterback their top money. You know, you need that extra money to get a couple extra weapons.
And then schematically, you have to change around pretty much your entire offense too. So, like, you know, it's hard for a team to maybe have said offense in place with said players or whatever, and then you trade for Lamar and you have to sign into this big deal and you're giving away draft picks, and then you may be looking at your roster and say, well, I don't really have the players around him that I need to succeed with Lamar, so now I've got to go and, you know, eat some money and, like, to cut some players or to go sign some new guys, and then it just gets real messy. So I think it's a lot more of a domino effect than just giving Lamar the money.
And
there's a lot more that goes into it there.
And, like, they tried to get him some weapons too. I mean, well, they've given him a great tight end in Mark Andrews, but, like, they tried to get him some weapons. Like, they drafted Hollywood Brown high. He was just all right. Like, they drafted Rashad Bateman with, what, like, the 18th pick?
Yeah.
And, you know, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Like, they've addressed that receiver position to an extent. It's unfortunate, you know, for the Ravens that some of their few misses that they've had organizationally have been those two receivers. But, you know, from the money side of things, I think it's easy to understand where the Ravens come from if you really break it down. And for the length side of things, you know, the Ravens not giving him more years, I think you can make sense of that too. You know, as unfortunate as it is, there is a history in the NFL of quarterbacks that's greatest strength is their rushing ability to hit that age 30 season, which would be at the end of that contract, to hit that season and to see that decline. You know, running backs decline at the age of 32. Wide receivers start to lose a step. Like, if you sign Lamar to a 5-year deal and, you know, all of a sudden the injuries persist, or you get 3 years into it, he's really just not as good of a runner anymore, then you're stuck with 2 years of a quarterback you're paying top dollar to, whose greatest ability is no longer all that much of an ability. So I just think it's too much of a gamble to take a guy that's been hurt every year of his career, just about, or at least back-to-back years, whose biggest strength, the thing that sets him apart, is the fact that, you know, there are very few players that have played in the NFL in the last 10 to 20 years that are more electric with a football in their hands than him. He is one of the game's best playmakers. But if durability is a concern, and, you know, it's another concern that he may lose some of that explosiveness as he ages, then, you know, you can't lock yourself into a long-term deal with guaranteed money like that if you're the Ravens.
Yeah, it's a tough line to ride, because what brings him his value now is also what kind of brings his value down long-term. So I think it's hard to... his dynamic playmaking ability now is what separates him from other quarterbacks, but is it sustainable for 5-6 years? They probably don't want to take that gamble on, you know, it might not be sustainable by year four, and then they're paying a guy $45 to $50 million a year for 2 or 3 years, and he's just not the same type of quarterback that you thought he was 3 years ago. So I think that what the Ravens have extended him is extremely fair. You're giving him $44 million a year for 3 years.
You're in a lose-lose situation if you're the Ravens, right? You know, there's only one way to win. Like, there's three ways to go about this. You let your franchise quarterback walk. You don't really get a lot of value back. You know, maybe you get those two firsts back, or maybe you do get a trade offer. But essentially, like, you draft a franchise quarterback and you don't sign into a second contract. That is a terrible feeling. Like, that's a terrible spot to be in. But option two is also a loss. You cave to the demands of Lamar Jackson, and you handicap your roster for 5 years. And maybe there's some really good there. Like, maybe you get to an AFC championship. You know, maybe you get to multiple AFC championships. I doubt it. You know, I still don't think this team would win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. And by the time you get to year four or five, then, yeah, you're handicapped. Your hands are tied. So I think option one and option two are both losses. I think you kind of, if you're the Ravens, part of you has to decide what the worst loss is. I could be wrong. It's pretty easy to be wrong. I do it a lot. But in my opinion, I think the worst loss would be handicapping your roster. But option three, which seems to be the option now, is just to continue to handle it professionally, handle it calmly. Like Harbaugh did yesterday, hey, we intend for Lamar Jackson to be our quarterback next year. And just realize that, you know, public pressure is what it is. The talking heads on ESPN is what it is. Skip Bayless yelling about, I can't believe what the Ravens are doing. Like, cool, fine, let that be. But if you continue to just hold strong, keep your feet firmly planted in the sand, Lamar Jackson is going to eventually have to make the decision. Do I play football for the Ravens next year, or do I not play football? Like, I think that's important for the Ravens to keep in mind. That is the leverage that you hold. Lamar Jackson, again, can either play for you or not play football. Period. And if he holds out for an entire year, then you're in the exact same situation. You can still just put that exclusive tag right back on him the next year and make him make that same decision. Do I want to play for the Ravens or not play football? And you know what? Maybe that's not a good way to do business. Maybe that's something that turns players away from you in NFL circles. Maybe that's something that causes, you know, discontentment within your locker room. I don't know. But right now it seems like that's what they're doing, and I think that's probably what I would do too.
Yeah, I just don't think it's worth it to try and run the risk of just kind of handicapping what your team can do down the line. I don't think it's necessarily the same situation, because I don't think it's the worst contract in the world. But I think you can maybe see a couple similarities with the Titans a little bit with their contract they've given Tannehill after he became the starter in Tennessee and got a new contract. It was a big contract at the time. Now it doesn't look that bad, but you know, you see with the Titans, they've had a couple of those bad contracts that, you know, you kind of regret signing after a year or two. And you can see what's happening now, where they're not in the greatest position salary cap wise. It's hard to to sign quality free agents that without breaking the bank and keeping them on a short deal and stuff like that. So I think that sometimes, you know, while these negotiations are a little painful now and a little tough to navigate through, and might be losing a guy that is a franchise quarterback, might not be worth it for the entire franchise down the road. So it's a tough one to wrestle with, I guess. But I think the Ravens front office is doing a decent job with it.
Should be pretty interesting to continue to watch play out. I mean, again, Lamar clearly trying to get the ball rolling. You know, clearly trying to force the issue a little bit with the statement yesterday. So we'll see what happens. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if what's going to happen, but it feels like we're on the cusp of something with the Lamar situation. We'll catch a break here. We'll stay with the NFL on the other side. The other quarterback drama in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers just still isn't a Jet.
It is funny. It's got to happen at some point, right?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's very funny. I mean, you had Green Bay general manager Brian, Gutekunst?
Yeah.
Yeah. You had him kind of finally say something. I mean, Aaron Rodgers just announced his intention to play for the Jets on a podcast when he's just still on the Packers. Like, right. It is funny how that whole situation played out, because it kind of felt like LeBron James, the announcement, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, except, like, you have little control over who you actually play for next year, technically. You know, you're kind of under that whole contract thing. In that, he also said he wished the team had more direct communication. But yeah, yesterday, Brian Gutekunst calmly pushed back, basically. You know, he said that the team basically couldn't get in touch with Rodgers, despite multiple attempts.
How could you not get in touch with him? He's just living in a dark hole.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He's just on an ayahuasca trip with his witch girlfriend. Don't you know that you just have to enter the spirit realm and talk to him, you know, psychosomatically? Come on. Adam Schefter figured out a way, kind of, yeah. Sort of. But he said, you know, I think at that point I just had to do my job. I mean, the Jets, Packers are still trying to work out a trade. The latest is essentially a holdup on a draft pick. And not just in the sense of, like, the Jets want to give up one less draft pick, or the Packers want them to give up one more draft pick. It is the protection on the draft pick. That is the hang-up right now. The Jets, well, they want protection. You know, they want a protected first-round pick in this trade. You know, the second first-rounder, I think they would be giving, or, you know, the second pick they would be giving up, essentially. They want protection. Where if Aaron Rodgers retires after the next year, they get that pick back.
Yeah.
Which seems fair. You know, I think if you're the Jets, I understand why you're pushing for that. But again, if you're the Packers, you know, you have all the leverage in the world. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, the Packers leverage situation, but I can't think of a situation in NFL history where a team has ever had more leverage on another than this one. So might as well go get that protection. You know, might as well avoid that protection because Aaron Rodgers might retire. Aaron Rodgers, like, might meet a cocktail waitress in week 13 and, you know, she tells him about crystals and he retires that week. Like, you just don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. But, you know, Joe Douglas of the Jets, he said that there's been some productive conversations where it's not where we need to be. Said he doesn't really feel any urgency to rush it. Might not be any urgency, but, you know, try telling the fans that.
Yeah.
Because the longer this goes on, and especially with what Jets fans have already been through, you know, the worse it's going to get. I'm sure that New York media is having a field day with all of this. I'm sure that fans are incredibly frustrated. But essentially, you know, the Jets are not in a state of panic. I also just don't think they realize how dire the situation is.
Yeah, I feel like they, it's almost like they heard Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee say that he wants to be a Jet, and they're just like, all right, yeah, he'll be in New York by training camp. Just kind of, they think you can just snap their fingers and he'll magically appear without anything happening, it seems like.
Right, I mean, just because Aaron Rodgers wants to be a Jet, just because the Packers are okay with him being a Jet, and just because you want him to be a Jet, it doesn't mean like you can just, oh, cool, he's a Jet now.
It's not like a Madden fourth trade.
Like, it felt like it, again, like it felt like it was a whole free agency thing. He's coming out of the darkness, like he's ready to announce his decision, but there's still more that has to happen. And the lack of urgency is honestly kind of surprising.
Yeah.
You know, Douglas also told media yesterday, he said, I would say there's no hard deadline and there's not a ton of urgency from our standpoint right now, but we're still very optimistic. You know, and when asked when he envisions getting the deal done, he said, well, we're just going to have to let this process play out. We're obviously not where we need to be exactly at this time, but we're going to let this process play out, and ultimately we do feel good about where we're at. You know, Saleh, he echoed a pretty similar sentiment, and he said, honestly, I'm not hitting the panic button. You know, I guess...
All right.
I guess to give off that perception publicly, a good strategy, given that, again, you are in the worst leverage situation of all time. The Packers, their plan A is not having Aaron Rodgers. So it's not like, you know, they're in any hurry to get rid of him. They were already planning to not have Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's probably going to be the Jordan Love era, I guess. But, you know, they already had that plan in place. Like, for them, plan B is like, oh, cool, Aaron Rodgers is here. Another year, fine. There's no hurry. There's no incentive to get this deal done. You know, they're eating that contract, a lot of it, either way. For the Jets, your plan A is Aaron Rodgers, and your plan B doesn't exist. The other quarterbacks have come and gone. The quarterback carousel has finished. The teams that don't have quarterbacks now are drafting one. You're not in a position to draft one. Yeah, you're not in a position to draft one. I don't think you're just going to panic and try to get Lamar Jackson. And other than that, like the quarterback market, there's no one available. So you have to make this Aaron Rodgers trade. I mean, furthermore, like you added Nathaniel Hackett as your offensive coordinator. You've signed players that Aaron Rodgers has demanded that you sign. If you don't get this deal done, yeah, you're... I don't think you're ever going to be able to look your fans in the eyes again. I don't think your fans are ever going to respect you again. And you're just going to be stuck with like some random old Packers receivers and Zach Wilson, you know, trying to keep his eyes off the moms and on the field.
Yeah. And you're going to be probably drafting a quarterback here soon.
Right.
I mean, unless Zach Wilson has a magical turnaround in offseason.
So, I mean, yeah, you do have to make this trade.
It does seem like there's just not a whole lot of sense of urgency from the Jets. It's interesting.
They've made it clear, too, like, they don't have backup plans.
Right.
There is no other plan. You just, you know.
You think the Packers want that like, 13th pick?
I don't think they want that. I mean, I think they've backed off the price of first-rounders. I think it's just the Jets really want that pick protected, and the Packers are just sitting back, feet kicked up, saying, nah, no deal. No chance.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if I'm the Packers, I would just budge. Like, I wouldn't budge until the Jets give me an offer that just kind of knocks my socks off. And I would keep them as long as I could.
And again, like, why would you? So, right. You know, two. I think really interesting quarterback situations with some. Really interesting leverage situations, too, playing out in the NFL right now, and the way that the media has covered both of it has been kind of peculiar to watch. But which one, before we wrap up this hour here, I'll just ask you this. Which one ends first?
I might say the Lamar Jackson, honestly. I think this Aaron Rodgers thing, I think it's just like the theatrics of Aaron Rodgers. I think he strings this thing out for a while. I don't think it gets resolved until post-draft.
Well, the Aaron Rodgers thing?
Yeah.
But you need the draft picks in this draft, though. It's like, I guess it has to get resolved before this.
That is true, though, yeah. A week before the draft.
Then you're really in trouble if you don't get it resolved before then.
It's a month away from the draft today, so... Clock's ticking, New York.
Clock's ticking. Clock's ticking on us, too. We're way up against it. Hour one's done. Hour two is on deck.